Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Mike, as Stockton says, you find your home and we will do the rest.
And if you need refinancing, which is big right now,
Yep.
Reach out, talk to the people at Stockton Mortgage.
Stockton.com.
How about this from a texter, yeah. Mr. Issel? Why was Maravich so good and a shame he couldn't have played longer? Well, he played, what, 10, 12 years, something like that?
I think. He really didn't dominate. I mean, he didn't go to the NBA and score 40 points a game.
Right.
But he was a great passer and a great ball handler, and a decent shooter. What made him so good, to answer the texter, and Mike, you know this, he was so clever with the basketball. It didn't matter. I mean, some of the coaches in the SEC tried to devise these really unbelievable defenses to stop Pete. Run, you know, try to double team him, play a triangle and two, and he was so clever with the basketball. He could get, it didn't matter how many people you ran at him, he could get an open shot. And he wasn't a great shooter.
He was a volume shooter.
He was a volume shooter, but there was no defense that could stop him. I mean, he'd go between his legs, around his back, and that. Remember, that's before people did stuff like that. And he'd just get to an open spot and shoot the basketball. But what made him so good was his ability to handle the basketball.
Well, to your point, back in the day, at that time, the Harlem Globetrotters were like very, very special to go watch them. And you know, ultimately they had a cartoon show about the Globetrotters. I mean, that's how big they were. They wanted to get Pete to join them and be part of their show. And he was that good a ball handler, yeah, and that good a passer. So he was a special guy, and we lost him way too young.
Was he 44?
I think so. And it's funny. When we played LSU one time, somebody came up to me. I think it was one of the ushers, and somebody had said, "Look, this guy here doing the radio played against Pete, and he was just an usher. Okay, wore you know the usher's outfit, mm-hmm. And he came up to me at halftime because I was walking out to use the men's room, and he stopped me and he said, "Hey, I don't know who you are, but they said you played against Pete and you knew Pete a little bit." And I go, "Yeah." So I introduced myself, and all he wanted to do was hear Pete's stories or tell me Pete's stories, mm-hmm. because he was a kid at that time. You know, he's like 10 or 11 years old. I forget. Very nice fella. But Pete's legacy, he's still a huge, huge part of that that program down there, along with Dale Brown, the former coach.
Yeah, and I believe the arena is called
the Maravich.
Named after Pete.
It's called the Pete.
Yeah.
So people call it the Pete.
The Pete.
Yeah. How about some college baseball, man? I know you got into it.
And I did. I started it. And the reason that I wanted to start watching some of these games, we had Keith Madison, the former UK baseball player, on last week. And he was talking about the two pitchers for Vanderbilt. And so I watched them pitch over Michael. These guys are basically unhittables. Jack Leiter and Rocker, the other one.
Yep.
Oh my goodness! They gave up in two games. They gave up one run, and I think Rocker struck out 11 players. Now these were the first team. Vanderbilt was the first team to qualify for the College World Series. But if you can get by, and I don't know how the schedule shakes out, but if you can get by with two pitchers, Vandy's going to be really tough. These guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, they're both going to be top five picks in the draft.
Yep.
So, I mean, but there was some other interesting pitching duels. Mississippi State had a left-hander that was their ace against Notre Dame yesterday. I mean, he was a big, strong-looking kid, and he was their ace, 2.5, 3-point ERA.
He got lit up.
He got lit up like a firecracker. Yeah.
And the other thing that I noticed watching these college is how many pitches they let these kids pitch. Of course, the number one team in the nation, Arkansas, let's give some credit to North Carolina State. They got beat 21-1. In the first game, you'd think you'd have your dobber down after getting beat 21-1 and come back and win the next two games. But I felt so sorry for that kid yesterday for Arkansas. He threw like 120 pitches and went back out for the next inning and gave up a home run, and they get beat 3-2, and North Carolina State goes to the College World Series, and Arkansas goes home.
Ninth inning home run, and the pitcher you're talking about, okay, he's supposed to be the player of the year. It hasn't been announced yet, but he was in the running for that and supposed to be the leading candidate. Do you know what his ERA was on the year? 0.66. 12-0 record. So he's in. Arkansas loses. He surrendered three runs and on seven hits at eight innings.
Yeah, and had tears in his eyes at the end, which you can certainly understand. I mean, that's a tough beat. But that one's on the coaches. How can you send a kid out there after he's throwing 120 pitches? I mean, you got to have somebody in the bullpen that can get three outs. But they
took him out in the eighth inning.
Maybe they had the Reds bullpen.
Yeah. The Arkansas Redlegs.
So I guess what, five teams have not now qualified?
Tennessee is having a huge, huge year. You have NC State, Vandy, Stanford, and Arizona.
Right.
Arizona
beat
wins.
Ole Miss.
Yes.
Now, Mississippi State, this is game three, so we could have three. We could still have three SEC schools in there. My favorite school, the team I'm pulling for, Dallas Baptist University. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool. And you couldn't find them on a map.
No. Dallas Baptist University. I mean, how cool is that? You got Stanford, you got Vandy, you got Tennessee, and you got Dallas Baptist. That's who I'm pulling for.
Well, you remember when we had
Game three, Virginia, I believe.
Game three of Virginia. Yeah. Coach Madison said his two picks were Vandy and Arkansas.
Right.
So Vandy looks like the one that's still going to be alive. And, you know, they've been to the World Series. They won it, and they've been to it. So with those two guys, man, whew, I'm telling you what, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. No, I think now, and like I say, I don't know if you have to use a third pitcher once you get to the College World Series, if you can get by with two, how the schedule shakes out. But they've got to be, if you can get by with two, they got to be the favorite.
I think if you can get into the winner's bracket, you probably can get by with two, maybe three. But if you happen to fall into the loser's bracket, you're going to have to probably pitch four.
I'd be surprised if they're in the loser's bracket with those two kids. And Al Leiter was at the game And was they showed him in the stands. The other guy, Joe Theismann, was at the now. What connection? I mean, I understand the Notre Dame connection, but what connection would Joe Theismann have with the Notre Dame baseball program? But he was in the stands.
Wow,
watching the Notre Dame game.
Well, he just probably wanted to see the Golden Domers play.
I guess.
I mean, yeah. And I don't know whether he played baseball in his life. He's maybe a big baseball fan. And
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think he lives in, last I heard, it was California, maybe, that he lives in. He's out there in the land of fruits and nuts. College baseball is going to be getting down. Coming up is their Final Four. And I'll tell you what, it's as exciting for the most parts as basketball's Final
Four.
Yeah,
no, I watched more college baseball the last 3 days than I have before then, period. It's fun to watch. Kids play hard.
Oh, well, I have to add one more team.
Yep.
A late W for the Texas Longhorns with a 12-4 victory over South Florida. 37th College World Series berth in Longhorns history. And the program's first since 2018. Hmm. You know, they've had some major league players come through the Longhorn program.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time. Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens. First guy comes to mind.
At Texas.
But there's others, too.
Yeah.
Crean could probably Google that for us. But
So there's only two series left. Is that correct?
Looks that way to me.
Virginia and Dallas Baptist.
The College World Series, I think, is actually eight teams. Or are they down to
correct.
The...
Yeah. Right. But Virginia and Dallas Baptist are 1-1, and Notre Dame and Mississippi State are 1-1. Are those the only two series that are
fighting Joe Theismann and Mississippi? Yes, they play at 7. UVA plays at 1. Notre Dame, Mississippi State, which I think will be maybe. Well, I shouldn't say that because I have no clue where Dallas Baptist University is. But
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Dallas.
Really?
What if it was in Houston?
What if it is in Dallas, Arkansas?
It's Dallas Baptist versus Virginia at 1, and Mississippi State versus Notre Dame are the two games today.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, I mean, I think this might be one of the few times they've been into college or have a shot to go to the college. Maybe the only College World Series if they get there, appearance, I'm not sure. State's been there a whole bunch of times, Mississippi State. Did you see, when you were watching the games, did you see that particular game?
Yeah.
Did you see that baseball stadium they've got?
Mississippi State?
Yeah.
15,000 people, and there wasn't an empty seat. They were standing in the aisleways.
When I was doing, I guess it was not before TV, but because...
Wait a second. You were doing something before TV?
Well, I meant before radio. When I was doing TV, they used to pull their outfield. They didn't have that big cement condo they have out there. They have a condo out there in left field, left center field. You can, you rent the condo for the baseball season. And I would imagine you could use it for whatever you want. But, yeah, look, when you see the game today, they got this condo. Well, they used to have. Here's what they used to do. It was pretty cool. They used to rent out just air spaces out around the outfield wall, the fence. And they backed it up enough so people would pull, like, trailers in there. They would pull RVs, and they would party. They would rock and roll and have parties. And it was and they sold these spaces to these people for the baseball games. And they'd just pull their own vehicles in there, whatever they wanted. They'd party. They'd be out there. And I was told that was a vicious place to play. Those people get about half lit out there in the outfield. You might not want to be playing right field.
You know, I saw the same thing at Vandy out beyond. On the right field foul pole, Vandy has what appears to be a 5 or 6 story parking garage.
Yes, yes.
And
I parked in that. Yes.
And they were all on that side of the parking garage. They were all backed up and they were partying out there on the top level. which of course had no roof. They had tents set up out there and everything. So all of that parking garage where you could get a glimpse of the Vanderbilt baseball, it was full. It was packed out there.
Yeah, that's a tight little place too, because you have basketball and football right up against it, and then you have that parking lot. Yeah, I peeped in there at that place. That's you know, it's amazing that Vandy has had such a run here in baseball. I mean, they have had really a nice run over the last 20 years.
They have a camp that is by invitation only.
Did your grandson?
No, he didn't. He was hurt. He got invited the summer between his sophomore and junior year, and he broke his finger, playing basketball, and so he couldn't go. But that's a big deal to get invited to the Vandy baseball camp for these high school kids across the country.
A texter sent a text in. The College World Series is different, I assume he meant, than the NCAA tournament. You get a few days off between games. I think you do in the winner's bracket, but I think they make the loser's bracket play. Maybe not.
If you lose that first game and you get into that loser's bracket, then you're playing a lot. And that's it becomes really difficult to win if you lose that first game, which... Shocking news that if you lose game one in a double elimination setup, it's harder to win. I know, right?
That's why Crean, statements like that are why you're the number one radio producer in this market.
We got another text. The texter says the left field lounge. I wonder what he's referring to that.
Maybe that's what it, maybe he's talking about Mississippi State.
Yeah, well, it could be, but it's a high rise. You'll see it tonight. Okay. It's like condos.
Okay.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it butts right up against the basketball facility, the hump. And then next to that, who's the first baseman? Palmeira. He played at Mississippi State, I believe.
Rafael Palmeira.
And Palmeira built a, or his name's on the front, of a indoor practice facility,
cool.
Which sits right, they all are adjacent to each other.
Right.
And so he donated that to the Mississippi State baseball team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Very cool.
Give back to the program.
We'll have to have some type of contest then, Crean, when we get the World Series set, College World Series set, we'll have to either do it on the text line or Twitter, or we'll just make our picks here.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Okay, and then we'll loser buys lunch or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, what's best? We can take the names, put them in a hat.
Yeah. This is a blind draw, yeah.
Have a blind draw.
Yeah, wow. That's become popular around the station the last few weeks. I mean, Patty did one for the Indy 500.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I finished. My guy finished second. I forgot his name, but so I got my
that's
money
a blind
back.
Draw.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, and then Jeff Greer organized one for the Euros, the soccer tournament.
Speaking,
I'm
of
on Belgium,
which, and if Crean
go
loses,
waffles.
if Crean loses lunch, we're eating in the conference room.
Thank you.
We're having Bare Nose Pizza on Friday. If Crean,
courtesy
Crean
of Phil Baker.
Yeah, there you go. But speaking of the EuroLeague, and I don't know if you follow soccer or not.
Briefly,
I have a real hard time watching it. Yeah. But
I like ice hockey better. I like NHL.
But my son loves soccer.
Is that the one who was going to come on with us last Friday?
Yeah, he wouldn't come on. He was chicken.
Tell his mother?
Yeah, I did. I did. But his mother couldn't get him on the radio. But it goes back. Do you remember a player by the name of Kim Hughes?
Yeah.
Kim Hughes played for the Nets with Julius. He played in Denver for a while. And he has a son. Scott and Ryan have been buddies since they were 2 years old. And the Hugheses lived in Italy. Kim played over there for about 10 years. And I think that's where Ryan fell in love with soccer. And Ryan and Scott were roommates at Colorado, CU. And I think that's where Scott picked up the love from Ryan of soccer. But he texted me and said, turn on ESPN. And it was when Christian Eriksen, the kid that plays for Denmark, had a heart attack,
at midfield,
and they stopped the game, and the players lined around him, and then somebody went and got some sheets, but he had a heart attack, and the doctor said he was gone, and they got the paddles out and brought him back and wheeled him. But how scary is that? I mean, a kid that looks like he's in
early 20s,
tip-top condition, and said he was gone. If they hadn't had the paddles there to resuscitate him, that would have been it. But that was very scary to watch on TV.
Well, was it Saturday night? Lou City had a big turnout for their first.
They had just shy of 13,000 people.
Yeah, a beautiful stadium over here, right off the interstate.
Gorgeous stadium.
It can be heard right here on ESPN Louisville.
Hit it really?
Yeah, we broadcast
Jeff
all the end. Jeff Greer on the call.
Oh, I think I remember that, Crean. Some discussion about that. Thank you.
I listened to it.
You're watching the Cubbies, man. Oh, okay.
You're working that text line over there,
Michael.
That's why you're in the driver's seat over there. You can multitask.
It's hot now. The text line is hot.
We don't even give that number out, do we?
It's the UPS text line.
Yeah, UPS jobs text line 502-437-9680.
But it's not as good as our celebrity Kim Crawford celebrity call-in line.
No.
And
we'll use that tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what? No, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, what would you rather have, a classic Kim Crawford or a UPS package?
Depends on what's in the UPS package. Can we get some Kim Crawford inside the UPS package?
Okay, that's a good combination, Crean. The Kim Crawford package on our celebrity hotline.
Okay, czar of the text line, what do you got?
All right, here, that's it. We've got some people that have followed Mississippi State, Dan. Yes, that's what the outfield fan area is called at Mississippi State, the left field lounge.
Okay.
Right. Palmeiro, Will Clark. Remember Will Clark?
Giants.
Jeff Brantley, the Cowboy, does the games
really?
With Marty.
Yeah,
he's a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
And Bobby Thigpen. I remember, didn't Bobby Thigpen play with your Cubbies?
I think he did.
Yeah, he's an infielder.
Yeah.
They all were on the same team in the early 80s.
Will Clark and Palmeiro were on the same team?
I don't think they were the same age. I think they crossed over a little bit because Clark played first, and so did Palmeiro, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether they did. I would assume in college they did.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can beat the Golden Domers, and we'll have three SEC schools in the College World Series.
That would be great. And tonight we can check out the left field lounge and where they are having adult beverages, which the SEC doesn't want to have.
I can't be watching that because Valor starts the high school baseball championships in Colorado. So
you're going to stream that?
I'll be. I can't stream it. I can't find any video. But I get that thing on my phone where, you know, it has a little baseball field and the pitches come in and the hits go out and all of that stuff.
So. I've done that for football. And in basketball, yeah.
So I sit there for 2.5 hours staring at my iPhone.
Can't you get it on an iPad? Do you have an iPad?
Yeah.
Do it on your iPad, a bigger picture, man.
Now, see, I don't know how to move Game Changer from my iPhone to my iPad.
Oh, I had a bad deal this weekend. I was deleting my trash and my junk. Okay, the files?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything is deleted. And I'm just deleting, I mean, every file that I had. And why it's so bad is that I had a separate file for personal stuff, okay? You know, three or four, I mean, half a dozen things.
Is that
travel.
Where you keep your girl's telephone?
Yes, that's where
telephone
I keep
numbers?
All that stuff. But I deleted everything. I mean, it was like tax returns and previous tax, everything. And I didn't hit any buttons for that. I mean, I hit the trash and the junk. I mean, my iPad went nuts on me. Now I'm trying to recover.
Yeah.
And I, good luck with that. I was told by a professional person in the communications business.
Michael.
Man, I'll tell you what, I have recovered a few emails. I was able to, but this other personal stuff, man, I got to get that stuff back. Yeah.
Oh, you might not have it.
It's part of history.
Yeah. Whew. Exactly. That's terrible.
Oh, we got one last texter. Okay. One last texter.
Okay.
The one to know whether our Crean is related to Tom Crean at Georgia.
And I am not.
Thank you.
If there was any doubt.
No, well, yeah. There really wasn't any doubt, but, you know.
Yeah, Crean is his nickname.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And why is it his nickname?
Because the first summer I interned here was right after IU fired Tom Crean, and obviously I'm an IU guy, and I liked Crean, so, and I still like Crean, but so it became a very natural nickname.
Well, you know, the one thing, have you ever contacted Coach Crean?
I met him once at, he spoke somewhere, and my dad and I went and saw him. I met him, we got a picture once. He was really nice.
Because I was going to say, he doesn't have any players. You might make the Georgia.
I got some eligibility left.
You might make the Georgia basketball team if you contact him. I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I think that'd be a fun bit for the show.
You know, Crean, on my little list of people I'm reaching out to become guest on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Call-In Line, is a guy from UGA. Dawg Nation, DAWG Nation. I'm reaching out to him. I don't know him, but somebody gave me his name.
You're attempting, for the listeners who haven't heard this, to contact somebody from each SEC basketball school because with the exception of Georgia, it looks like it's going to be a really strong league this year. So we're trying, Michael's trying, to get somebody from each school on to talk about their basketball program.
Can you guys remember a year where the SEC was as good as it might be this year?
Not top to
bottom. Well, let me think about that. Wasn't it how many years ago where two SEC teams got to the Final Four? One was South Carolina.
That was South Carolina. I don't know if another one made. I know when Kentucky made the Final Four in 2014 as an 8 seed. Florida was also the number one overall seed in the Final Four.
But it seems that the power was at the top, and I think the year that Auburn. Well, it was Auburn, South Carolina. Auburn beat Kentucky in overtime.
I don't think that was the same year, because that was 2019 that Auburn made the Final Four. Because that the other teams in that Final Four were Virginia, Michigan State, and Texas Tech.
That's right. And they beat,
I think 2017 was the year South Carolina made it, and it was Carolina, Gonzaga, and Oregon were also in the Final Four.
Arkansas gets beat on a tip-in by North Carolina. Should have won that ball game.
Yeah.
But I'm talking, I mean, there have been years when there are two or three really good teams.
Oh, yeah,
But I can't think of a year, and you know, I mean, it's all speculation at this point. They might all stink. But going into the season, I can't remember a time when from top to bottom the league was as strong as it is this year.
And to your point, I don't think I remember a time when there's been this much conversation about the SEC and their depth and the other teams besides Kentucky being good. I mean,
that's the normal narrative. It's that Kentucky has to prop everyone else up and try to just carry everyone on. Whereas now, I mean, I think it's the weirdest thing that the SEC might have its best league ever, and Kentucky probably isn't projected to be the best team in that league. And that's something that we normally would not have thought of, because we would think, oh, the SEC's really good. Kentucky must be the best of the best, because that's traditionally how it goes in the SEC. And the fact that Kentucky may be, you know, third or fourth best in the league, I find it really interesting, the fact that the league is still really good despite Kentucky maybe not being the best team in the league.
It's amazing what better players and better coaches can do. For anybody, but I can see a big year for SEC basketball. But before we go, answer. Palmeiro played outfield in college.
Yep. Wow.
Thigpen was a relief pitcher.
Hmm.
How about that one?
Mm-hmm.
And so Brantley, you know, started, and I think he relieved a little bit, but he was mostly a starter with the Reds.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good ball club.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good ball club. All right, we're going to talk some NBA basketball. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and Dan's Nuggets are now on the sideline. And But anyway, there's a lot to talk about here in the next half hour of NBA basketball. This is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Daddy's belt, Mama's drapes. Standing tall in the backyard shed, looking cool in my Superman cape. I told the neighborhood girl, said, hey, y'all, watch this. My fate was a broken arm, and my reward, one big kiss. When
Daddy keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike. Dig it.
Welcome back to Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt. Speaking of Stockton Mortgage.
Yes, sir.
What would you have in your dream house, Mr. Issel?
A butler's pantry.
The financing may not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The butler's pantry is frustrating, man. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home, they'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender.
NMLS. NMLS.
8259.
Yeah. Did I say 8259?
No, you said 8259. Oh.
What's the difference? 8259?
No, I was told to say, we're supposed to say 8259.
Okay. 8-2, you know, the script I have has a dash between the 82 and the 59. Well,
yeah, don't say the dash.
Don't say it.
So let me do this.
8-2-5-9.
Let me scratch out the
NMLS.
That okay. All right, let's talk some basketball.
In conjunction with that, remember last week when Tucker and Durant got into that?
Two Texas Longhorns.
And I told you that I saw something during that confrontation that I'd never seen before, that a security guard was out on the floor. Assistant coaches and coaches, but I'd never seen a security guard out on the floor. It turns out the guy is a security man for the Nets. And in addition to that, he's on the Nets payroll. In addition to that, has done some work as a bodyguard for Kevin Durant. And so the NBA says, especially when he was out there and he shoved Tucker. He wasn't out there, you know, really trying to be a peacemaker. He shoved Tucker. And so they have banned him from any games in Milwaukee. And I think for the rest of the series, even in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's not allowed to be courtside for any of the games for the rest of the series.
So, and you probably won't hear any more about it. I'm sure the NBA will take care of that behind the scenes. But a lot of people don't know, Mike, that all NBA teams have a security, at least one security guy that is around the floor at the home games, watches the players when they go to the parking lot after the games. I don't know if all of them are packing, but the guy in Denver is a retired Denver police officer, nicest guy in the world. And I asked him one time, I said, are you packing? And he just smiled at me. So I'm guessing that most of these security guards are carrying. And there was a guy, I don't know if he's still there. He was in Miami forever back when Dwayne and LeBron and Bosh were all there. And he was about the most visible one I ever saw. He had a shaved head.
Kojak.
And would be out on the floor while the players were stretching and doing their warm-up line. Most of them are a little more discreet than that. But there's always security people around all of these NBA teams. But you can't get out on the floor and start pushing other players.
He's lucky he didn't get popped. I mean, P.J. Tucker's not a small man.
No.
6'6", and, you know, he's chiseled.
Somebody said that. Somebody on Milwaukee said, guy better not push P.J. too far. Nobody wants to mess with P.J.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. But the NBA will take care of that behind the scenes. You won't see any more security guys out on the floor during a confrontation.
I think a lot of college teams travel. I know Kentucky travels with two policemen, one from the campus police, and I believe the other one is from it. We've changed a couple times. The Lexington Police Department. And I remember a couple times where the conversation was, a pilot came back to them and the pilot understood who they were, mm-hmm. and what they did for a living.
Right.
And he asked them if they were had any weapons on them. We call it packing, but the pilot said, "You have any weapons on you?" And they said, "No, we checked them in. They're under the plane." So the pilot went back, I guess, and one of them went with him to get his suitcase to show him. And they were that this particular trip, they were very tidy about where the guns were.
I mean, you can understand, if you can throw water bottles and dump popcorn on these players, some idiot might go farther than that. So you can understand why they have the security.
And you can understand why Durant has his own, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's not going to get lost in the crowd at 7 foot.
No.
So he's a walking target, you know. Speaking of Durant, the Nets, and the Bucks.
We got a series again. I was too quick to write off Milwaukee, but it all goes back to what we talked about, Mike. You got to stay healthy. And for some reason, I don't know if it's the age of the players or what, but man, the Nets are having one injury after another.
And Giannis, when he decides not to shoot the three, he's pretty daggone good, isn't he?
26 points in the paint yesterday. What did he have, 32, 34, yeah. Something like that? But 26 of them in the paint. They don't have anybody that can guard him. Nobody.
That poor kid Claxton, he just gets torched. I mean, the kid tries. I'm not making fun of him, but just look at him. He tries to get in the way of Giannis, but I mean, Giannis is a big man.
Yep.
And both of them are 7 foot, but there's a big difference in those two 7 footers.
Well, and you know, the Nets still have the home court advantage, so they're still in control. But Irving, that as you said, that sprained ankle, that wasn't just a run of the mill sprained ankle.
That was ugly.
Yeah, he turned that thing over pretty good, and he had 11 points before he left, and there was not another player except for Kevin Durant in double figures. And you're not going to beat Milwaukee like that, especially if Giannis is getting in the middle for 26 points. And so I don't know, as bad as that looked, I don't know that, you know, and Irving doesn't have a history of coming back from injuries real quick. I don't know if Harden's coming back. I mean, you know, they say, you know, it's coming, that he's progressing. Well, Christmas is coming too, but it's still a long ways off. So you don't know when he might play. So I
if he does, should we all go Merry Christmas if he does play?
So we've got that's a good series. There's some good series left.
There really are. What impressed me about the Bucks after going down two, you know, they played it grinded out basketball. That third game was ugly. Ugly, and yesterday's game was pretty ugly too.
Yeah.
But it was better than game three, and their defense. I thought what they did yesterday was share the ball so well, particularly Giannis. I thought early on he passed it, which set him up for hoops later on. But the Bucks defense, man, the Nets supporting cast, they just cut them off.
Yeah, and you know, the defense is going to look good if Harden and Irving don't play, but that's the first time this season, Mike, that the Nets were held under triple digits two consecutive games. So you make a great point. Their defense is what's got them back in this series. So that'll be a fun one to watch. You know, the other one that's tied 2-2 is the Clippers and the Jazz. And
it's actually 2-1 right now.
What is?
Clippers-Jazz.
Is it? I thought it was 2-2 also.
No, maybe it is 2-1. I don't know.
Yeah, they play game four tonight.
Okay.
It's 2-1 Utah
right
now.
All right,
now.
Well.
Utah took the first two games at home, right?
Yeah, and then the Clippers won big on Saturday.
And Donovan Mitchell is having an injury issue. He says he's going to be ready tonight, but we'll see how that goes. But there's a couple of good series left, but one series that isn't left, my poor Denver Nuggets are on vacation.
Well, before we get into anything like that, the Clippers, I mean, they get home, and they did this against Dallas. They lose two on the road, and they come running back in at home. They shot 56%, I believe, Friday night, and from beyond the arc, they shot 52%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a hard team. When somebody shoots 53% and 52%, you know, your shot of beating them is slim and none.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Leonard and George have to carry that team. If they both play well, they're going to be a tough out.
But who is Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson is 31 years old. Okay, spot up shooter. So he's the third leading scorer in the playoffs. He's what they call a spacer.
Yeah.
Number one. He's
a spacer.
A spacer.
Let me add that to my glossary.
Yeah, you like those, don't you?
He's a spacer.
He's a spacer.
He's no rim runner, though.
He's no rim runner.
Too short to be a rim. But speaking of rim runners,
yes.
Utah, Gobert, they really took him out of the game in game three. They were very aggressive, they being the Clippers, and they really went at him early. And, you know, he was a dominant force in the first two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Defensive player of the year in the NBA.
Three times out of the last 4 years, I think.
All right, let's speak to your Nuggets.
Yeah.
Did you think he should have been thrown out? I don't either.
I think that's a terrible call. They weren't going to win the game anyway. I mean, Chris Paul is playing out of his mind. Mike, he scored 37 points last night. And was 14 for 19, didn't take a three-pointer, scored 37
That's
points.
That's old school.
And didn't take a three-pointer. I just saw on ESPN the only player to score more points in a playoff game at age 36 or older. Karl Malone had 50 one time. But Chris Paul tied for second last night with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. 37 points in a playoff game after the age of 36. And then, of course, Booker comes along with 34. So the Nuggets weren't going to win anyway. That was a terrible call. And just to show you what class that Jokic has, on the way to the locker room after getting kicked out, you know, he's not throwing stuff or kicking stuff. He walks over to Payne and apologizes at half court before he walks off the court. I love that kid. He's a terrific individual, an unbelievable basketball player. He just didn't get enough help.
No, there's no question.
With Murray out. And they changed up the backcourt yesterday for the first time. They started Monty Moore and
Barton. Will Barton.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they tried things, but without Jamal Murray, they're just not the same team.
And a texter comes in, Utah versus Phoenix will be the series to watch. Donovan Mitchell versus our guy Booker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Utah's not there yet, but that
I knew that would rile you a little bit.
But that would be that will be a fun but I'll tell you what, if Chris Paul keeps playing like he played in the Denver series, and you made a great point before we started the show this morning. Denver didn't make any adjustments. Chris got to the same spot time after time after time where he wanted to take that little 17, 18 foot jump shot. And Denver never made the adjustment. But if he keeps playing like he's playing, Phoenix got a great shot to go to the NBA Finals.
I think four or five times I'm sitting there on the couch and he goes to his right, gets just right around the elbow, just inside it, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. makes him. Now, they run at him a couple times. He makes them difficult, or one time, he makes a difficult shot. They keep letting him go to his right, so they run him off that particular spot where he's made four or five shots. He goes to the baseline and drains a shot off the bounce. I'm going, can't you all make him go to his left? Can't you try to make him go any way but his right?
Yeah, at least try something different. I mean, he's not missing a
zone.
Shot. He's 14 out of 19. At least try something different.
Now, Phoenix played what I thought was a NBA zone. I looked a couple times, and Jokic was still in the game. They had everybody on one side of the floor, 1 foot in the paint, 1 foot out. Mm. They had like three guys over there. And, you can't play a zone like we know it in college.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You still can play a zone waiting for him. And all that help side was waiting for him.
As long as you're close. I mean, in college, you don't have to be close. You can just guard an area of the floor. In the NBA, you can't stay in the paint. And you also have to have a player close to you. But you can play a modified zone in the NBA. You used to not be able to do that, but they changed that rule 10 or 12 years ago.
Boy, Phoenix was packing the paint against your guy. I mean, they really were packing the paint. And I thought Will Barton did a nice job.
He did.
I thought he did a nice job coming off an injury.
Yeah, he missed, I think he hadn't played since the middle of April.
Was it that long?
Yeah. He'd been out for a while. So, that's why they had the starting backcourt of Campazzo and Austin Rivers. Those are nice kids, but you're not going to beat anybody with that.
They're not rotation guys.
No.
On a good team.
No, no. So they got Barton back, and he played more minutes. Chris Paul's just unbelievable right now.
He is. He's fun to watch. I mean, he's really fun to watch.
No, I've said this on this show before. There's one guy in the league, and I might go two guys now. I might have to put my man Jokic on that list. But I've said it before. There's one guy in the NBA I'd pay to watch play, and that's Chris Paul. He knows. He understands the game. It's like he knows where guys are going to go before they go there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And it would be fun to play with him too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's going to be ball dominant, and guys in the NBA all want to be ball dominant, but they can't. Most of them can't be, and share with others. When they're ball dominant, it's all about them. But this guy's ball dominant, and it's about his teammates. He moves the ball around. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. The old adage, he makes his teammates better. Now, I've heard that said about a lot of players, and sometimes it's true, and sometimes it's not true. But there's no question he makes everybody on the floor better when he's got the basketball.
If Giannis decides not to shoot very many threes.
Yeah. And if he can keep from getting fouled. I think he was 5 for 10 again from the
amazing, isn't it?
They average about 15 seconds just to release the ball.
How can you be an MVP and not be able to shoot 50% from the free throw line? It boggles my mind.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, yeah, but.
Well, okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Do the Nets have a chance at all with the injuries, with just
if Harden and Irving don't play the rest of the series, then I would say no. I would say they have no shot.
That's tough, man, from a team that I picked, you picked, everybody picked to win it all.
But now all of a sudden, we picked with the caveat they got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
They got one out of three out there right now.
So what they'll probably do is fire the coach because of that. That's what they do in the NBA, isn't it? All right, tomorrow we're going to talk refereeing with Johnny Hampton. SEC referee is going to join us on the Kim Crawford Wines Celebrity Hotline. And this has been Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt.
Have a great day, everybody.